Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi there, everybody. On today's wrestling news, we're going to tell you all about the major changes coming to WWE's commentary teams. We're going to talk about an NXT call-up that could happen as soon as tonight. And we're also going to talk about Bandido, the latest on him. But first, we have to start, unfortunately, with a really tragic story. Sara Lee, who won the 2015 season of WWE Tough Enough, passed away. This news broke last night. It's really crushingly sad stuff. It came through the New York Post, who'd kind of collected this social media post that Sarah's mother had made. I'll just read it to you. It is with heavy hearts that we wanted to share that our Sarah Weston has gone to be with Jesus. We are all in shock and arrangements are not yet complete. We ask that you respectfully let our family mourn. So there you go, man. That's where we're at. There's been no cause of death or anything like that. No additional info, which is, you know, private things. You don't press for any of that stuff when something this horrible happens. So yeah, 30 years old, man. No age at all. She hadn't been in the wrestling business for a long time, but I don't think that matters. I think the key thing with this story is that she was a mother of three. She was a wife. She was married, for those of you who don't know, to former WWE wrestler Wesley Blake. Really, just situations like this, when you think of the familial connections and you have these young families who are dependent on their parents, now half of that is suddenly gone. Yeah. It's absolutely crushing, and we just wish our very best and whatever we can do really in that regard to the family, to Wesley Blake, to the children. It's a terrible thing to happen to anyone.
Yeah, condolences obviously from all of us at What Culture, and I'm sure the wider wrestling fan base at large. Bull James, the former Bull Dempsey, was the one to kick off a GoFundMe page to invite people to support the family if they wish. We'll get a link, I guess, in the notes of this video. You can obviously find the link as well at whatculture.com, and indeed it's everywhere online today, being shared by wrestlers and fans alike. It's just to obviously cover funeral costs and then obviously just be able to support the family head, as Murray says. A family has lost its mother and wife today, so just incredibly sad, but obviously go and donate if you are able.
Yeah, absolutely. Terrible, terrible stuff. And once again, our deepest condolences to those affected by this just really horrible situation. Let's talk about some wrestling stuff, I guess. WWE's commentary teams are getting a bit of a shake-up. Yes. It seems Variety broke this news, but it was kind of it coincided with WWE breaking it themselves. WrestleVotes tweeted yesterday afternoon going, hey, there's going to be some changes to Raw for the season premiere episode, which is next week. This confused me. Season premiere for SmackDown is this week.
Yes.
And then you have a pay-per-view in the middle of them. That blew my wig off, but hey.
The 52-week shows that never end.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? But they've been doing it every year, I guess, since the TV rights deals came in. But basically, I'll just tell you what you're going to get, shall I? Friday Night SmackDown, you're getting Michael Cole, you're getting Wade Barrett up from NXT. You're also getting Samantha Irvin as the ring announcer. Backstage interviews will be done by Kayla Braxton and Megan Morant. On Raw, Corey Graves, he's still going to be there. Jimmy Smith is no longer with WWE. Best wishes, Jimmy. I thought he did a good job. Good professional job. But he's no longer there.
A difficult chair to sit in, it seems, the Monday Night Raw hot seat. And he did. He made that seem quite easy and clearly figured out the Vince McMahon trick when he was still in his job and transitioned well with Triple H. Yeah, he'll be missed from that seat, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he did a good job, man. Yeah. And like particularly when Vince was there screaming in the ear, not an easy life.
Put a lot of other people off, didn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of other wrestling people off. And he came from another world and made it seem normal.
So. Exactly. And you look at the struggles that a professional broadcaster like Virk had when he was in the seat.
Yeah.
I thought Jimmy did a good job. But anyway, Kevin Patrick is going to be the one taking his play-by-play role. So that's pretty interesting. I'm not going to do the impression because Will Ward's off. Mike Rome will continue to do ring announcing. And Byron Saxton will transition away from commentary into the backstage interviews. I'm actually a bit bummed out about that because I like the dynamic between him and Corey Graves.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. I do. Sue me. He'll be backstage doing interviews with the returning Kathy Kelly.
Kathy Kelly, big fan.
Great energy, Kathy Kelly.
Massively show. She left NXT in early 2020, and what terrible timing that was to walk away from wrestling into sort of Passage New and things like that. She'll be welcome back. She was somebody that at least certainly gave off the impression of somebody that had a huge passion for pro wrestling. There's loads of like digital content that made WWE's YouTube fun. And things like that. And that, again, we talk about these jobs, they're not, previously at least, they've not been made easy for these broadcasters, have they?
So we really should have tried to hire, like, Kathy Kelly or someone, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
I mean, we could afford her.
We missed the boat on Kathy Kelly.
We're in Gates Head. Yeah. Never mind. So that's Raw. NXT's getting switched up as well. Vic Joseph will be sitting alongside Booker T now. Okay, that'll be interesting. Alicia Taylor will still be doing ring announcing, and Mackenzie Mitchell still backstage doing the interviews. On premium live events, you'll have Michael Cole and Corey Graves. That existing team continues. Probably asking about Pat McAfee. He will be back when he has finished his commitments to ESPN College Game Day. So we've kind of gone through the returns and the changes there bit by bit. Interested that there was no Morrow in this. I kind of figured he might be part of these announcements, to be honest. But changes, new voices, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, and this has happened before, as you say, around this time of year, and especially now we've got the rights fees. They like to make the shows feel brand new, even if most of the product remains the same. So you can expect maybe things like possibly new stages, new logos, and in this case, new commentators. It's not the worst thing. It's really not the worst thing. As you've seen over the last few months, just Triple H's ideals have made WWE feel completely transformed.
Yeah.
And when they start running dry, they like the aesthetic changes, and they include, I think, commentary and broadcast as a big part of that.
Yeah,
so it's not the worst thing for WWE to get the old palate cleansed once in a while.
Yeah, it's nice to get a fresh coat of paint on things. Sometimes just revitalizes and all of that. Potential NXT call-up on tonight's SmackDown. I guess this could be kind of spoilery if you don't want any potential spoilers for SmackDown. So you know what we do? We have the timestamps below. Just go ahead and click on to the next story if you don't want any spoilers potentially for tonight. I'll give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Legado del Fantasma could be showing up.
Mm.
They're going to the main roster, baby. PW Insider's Mike Johnson reported this yesterday, stating that WWE plans on debuting the group, which is Santos Escobar. It's Joaquin Wilde, Electro Lopez, and because I keep calling him Raul Mendoza, I have to look at my notes for this one, Cruz del Toro.
Yeah.
I've known this for months. I still get it wrong. Forgive me. But they could be debuting on SmackDown as soon as tonight. Season premiere episode. It's in Worcester, Massachusetts. You'd think that they would have big things planned for that. Mm. And a debut would be that. Sources believe that they are due to start this week, and pitches involving them have already been doing the rounds. Fightful Select also reported on this. They were written off TV earlier this year with a view to moving them to the main roster, and the outlet had previously reported that they were main roster bound back in August. So yeah, I mean, certainly from an in-ring standpoint, right, at least Escobar, Wilde and Del Toro are absolutely tremendous. And, you know, if they were in NXT, it was probably just the old cliche of the learn how to work the camera, pal, or whatever. Electra Lopez is a bit earlier in her development, but maybe they can find a good role for her there. Either way, I quite like Legado, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Yeah, this has sort of felt, as you say, a little bit overdue in terms of the talent, what they clearly already offer. But certainly the internal changes within WWE have probably accelerated this. There was a point where they felt a little bit marooned on NXT, in truth. They'd been there, not even been there that long, but they'd been there long enough how clearly talented they were. And it just feels like, I don't know, this was natural, especially when they got written off NXT television. They'd lost the big feud to Tony D'Angelo, who NXT have used to result in several people. Like Tommaso Ciampa was another one where they kind of have a Tony D'Angelo thing and then off they go. Electra Lopez is an interesting one. She showed early flashes of kind of being, she had a similar place that China had in the original DX. These would get up to their wacky, no good business, and then she would actually just be a serious threat on the outside. But then 2.0 didn't do quite as much with her from a developmental point of view. So keen to see how they go. Look, there's an obvious pairing immediately. I think it would actually be revisiting a brief NXT feud with Hit Row.
You've got
the male female pairings on each side. You can do some stuff with that. But it was the right time, and SmackDown as well sort of feels like the right place as well.
Them versus Imperium could be a really tasty match.
Yeah. There's lots of sort of options there, and they're like at the moment everybody that's getting television time, you have to assume is a Triple H guy or a Triple H girl or whatever. So I don't think he's going to bring anybody up that he hasn't got some sort of plan for as well. It doesn't strike me as that kind of like ramshackle operation that used to exist where somebody showed Vince an 8x10 and he was like, I'll take him.
So they're not going to be marooned for. I don't know, shut up. Right, next story.
This love can't take it no more.
No, I really. Wow, his DMs can't take it no more, apparently. Wow, referencing 2 week old stories. Here we go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Bandido, little update on him. We reported earlier this week, we aggregated the reports that he had, while nothing was official, he had agreed a deal with AEW, agreed terms. This isn't the case. It's since come to light via Dave Meltzer, who corroborated the original Fightful story, by the way. He has learned, actually, from sources that the deal hasn't been signed yet. So Bandido is still technically a free agent at the time of recording. And he has an offer on the table from WWE as well, which is interesting. He was interviewed by Mass Lucha this week, Bandido was, and confirmed he is still in talks with AEW and that there is a WWE offer there as well. Interesting few press weeks for him. Match with Jericho, very well received. Contract offer came straight after that. There was also the crazy story about WWE seeing him on TV and going, while the match was still ongoing, saying, get me that guy's phone number. For me, I think Bandido's excellent. For me, it's wild that there's only just a clamour for him now. He's been great for years, and he's been a free agent for like 10 months or something. But I guess it's just the power of having a poppin' match on TV.
Yeah, he sort of blew minds all in, didn't he? In the main event of that show, when everybody was forced to wrestle at 100 miles an hour, he somehow found 101. And I remember even thinking then, it's strange that he didn't get his breakthrough. Power of television, I guess, and certainly the power of it, in a way, it kind of tacitly puts over AEW's muscle that someone main eventing on their show that can be seen as an out of nowhere discovery can suddenly appeal to WWE. And I guess fair play to Bandido as well for maybe sitting back and courting the offers rather than just taking the first thing.
Play them off each other.
Too right, like go and make the money. We're seeing now that we're clearly entering an era of talent jumping back and forth with a bit more regularity and like entertaining proper offers rather than just seeing one as like a land of opportunity. So yeah, go and get as much money as you can, Bandido. Like strike while the iron is absolutely white hot, because I don't know, is it going to be as hot as that white, beautiful white gear with blood stained all over it for too long? Who knows?
You've got to
go for it.
But he's a very talented guy, and we wish him all the best in securing a job that not only pays him well but brings creative fulfillment as well.
Indeed.
Just be honest, man. Why are you laughing?
You're right. It still makes me laugh to think that, like, because the old that would come with, like, well, he's gonna have time to AEW then. But that's not the case. Like, there might be creative fulfillment in WWE now. That's the thing.
It's an interesting landscape.
Yeah, sure. It is. That's it.
We're gonna move over to our Twitter questions today. We're not doing the wacky thing today for obvious reasons. The terrible, sad story that we had to lead on today. But we've got some questions here, some good stuff here. First one comes to us from Tom Talks Rubbish.
Hi, Tom.
Shout out to Tom, doing great work across the board. But he's asked us a question here. saying, if Tony, this is fun actually, this is fun. If Tony Khan took over booking WWE for the build-up to a pay-per-view and the event itself, and Triple H was booking AEW for the same period, same time frame, what would be the difference in both companies? Not talking about backstage fights, which makes a refreshing change.
The
idea of Triple H and Tony swapping fascinates me.
Yeah.
Do you think Raw would be as chaotic as like one of the maddest episodes of Dynamite, given that it's 3 hours long, or do you think he'd space things out a bit more?
I think it would be an interesting challenge to watch how he makes 3 hours feel like one.
Yeah.
Like, cause yeah. I don't think he has any other style than that frenetic
than just
one.
Boom!
Yeah. Go away, ignite.
Which, when it clicks, is the best thing ever. Yeah. But some weeks you're like, oh, that was fast.
Whoa! Yeah. There. Yeah, I'd quite like to see a Raw done at a Tony Khan pick. Yeah. A Triple H, this is going to sound like sacrilege to some, a Triple H AEW pay-per-view fascinates me, right? Because I have no doubt that he would know what to do with a roster, because he's been watching half of the tapes from PWG trying to scout for NXT five years ago. So he knows what he's got in his hands.
All the guys he tried to sign or did sign.
This is it. Yeah. Pacing was what would interest me. We've debated this long and loud, and there's like common criticisms of AEW shows, the way they're paced or structured, for how they feel longer. Even if when you look at the runtime at the end, it turns out it wasn't as egregious as it might seem. That would be what it would get me. He's booked a million takeovers with a million super workers. He knows what he's doing with, and to be fair, Tony Khan kind of went a bit black and gold this year with the guys he was signing.
He did.
Like Triple H is going to have a long memory with some of them. So I would quite like to see how an AEW show was paced, and Adam Cole goes over in the end, probably.
That's it, wouldn't it? Like the main event of the Triple H booked AEW pay-per-view would be 45 minutes. It would be Adam Cole versus Jay Lethal.
And
it'd
be maybe.
And it would be very good. That just screams Triple H match, right? Because Adam Cole's in it. And Adam Cole rules.
Yeah.
And Jay Lethal, who's like, he ticks all the boxes of like a very good worker.
Like a guy Triple H wanted to get his hands on and couldn't.
Yes.
Or
screams that kind of guy.
You could at least be assured that the Elite would come back, because when it comes to that situation, Triple H would pick a side.
Yes.
So Kenny and the Bucks would be back on day one if he had anything to do with it.
And there we go. Hope that answers your question. But we could do a whole video on that. It's a really good topic. What would Tony Khan book Brock Lesnar like? I'd love to see
it. I want to think longer about who his WWE favourite would be. Who would be the guys he would actually pick.
Maybe we should do it. What if Tony Khan booked WWE?
There's something to this. What Tony Khan thinks of the roster.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the content.
The Rated R Penguin's been on. And I'll put this one in because a few people have asked about this, and I think it's actually a good opportunity to cover some other stories that broke yesterday. Does it seem the wrong statement that Sammy Guevara has been involved in two backstage incidents and has had no punishment? Does something like this send a bad message to the rest of the locker room? So, with regards to Sammy, actually, a new story broke yesterday from Fightful, and they did stress that accounts on this vary across the board, and people give different details. But a few people had pointed out that when this fight happened this week, Sammy was trying to not get into a fight.
Okay.
He was trying to avoid it escalating. So there was previously the talk that Sammy had shoved Andrade, but that detail was missing from another account, a bunch of other accounts. I understand as well that Sammy didn't throw any of the punches or whatever. So Sammy's a controversy magnet, 100%. He gets into these incidents, right? He's had these. There was some stuff with him on the indies. He obviously had the Sasha Banks comment that came back and resulted in him being taken off TV and sent to sensitivity training for a while. So he's been in these incidents, the Eddie Kingston thing, of course. It's a really tricky one. It's difficult for me to sit here and go, he should have been sent home too, because I wasn't there. I wasn't backstage. And when you have reports like Fightful's one suggesting that he was trying to avoid getting into a fight, that suggests that he's not the guilty party, perhaps, at least to a degree, in this situation. That being said, he does get involved in these things, whether they're his fault or not, and I can understand why people would sit there and go, what's going on?
Yeah, it's a tricky one with a Sammy Guevara-like figure. It's like, they're not the same, and this is not the same case just because of a similar situation, but when the Punk thing kicked off, one of my like immediate thoughts was, like, lightning rod attracts lightning, news at 11. Like, there's certain figures that in the industry that gradually build up a reputation where this kind of thing can possibly go on. And this isn't necessarily fair, but sometimes compensation is made for those personality
types.
Wrestling's a very tricky industry in that respect. Sammy Guevara, you mentioned the Sasha Banks comments, was sent to sensitivity training, right? But the way wrestling works, he was given a comeback in the main event of Dynamite.
Yeah.
And like inadvertently glorified. And what's great for wrestlers in a TV overexposure era is time away.
Yes.
So not that he got a big pop because it was in the pandemic, but it was the imagined big pop of the unmasking and the things like that. same as on Wednesday night on Dynamite. A big win at the end. You know, you could argue why would Tony Khan torpedo his booking of the main event for a situation he can handle privately. But a lot of people will receive a big win and getting put on people's shoulders as avoiding punishment.
Yeah.
It's a very strange industry in that respect of what can look like you actually are being rewarded for misgivings. If you think about Shawn Michaels for the bulk of the 1990s, all you ever heard was, well, it's a good job he's one of the best in the world because he's an absolute nightmare backstage. There's no framework of rules, and promoters will have their favourites, their biases, and their business decisions that will all factor into it. As Murray says, you know, none of us are backstage, but I think it's understandable why everybody would speculate and why everybody, if you look at the Kingston thing, why everybody would pick sides or have feelings on it. If we kind of, it's a bit of a joke, I think, amongst most people, that like, oh, Kingston's lost his pay-per-view match with Sammy, he's probably lost some money. He's gained an immediate critical acclaim match with Tomohiro Ishii. That in itself, wrestling is strange. That was a prize rather than a punishment in many ways. So I just, there's no, what's the phrase I'm after? There's no set way, there's no sort of like, you can't deal with these things piecemeal.
Yeah.
There's no one way to like skin this particular cat, and it's very, very tricky. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't want to be a wrestling billionaire promoter, but I certainly wouldn't want to be Tony Khan with this existing locker room problem.
Yeah.
There's a million different fires sparking every day, and there's no one, you can't just chuck a bucket of water on it and put it out.
And to add to that, yesterday Dave Meltzer explicitly reported that Andrade was trying to get himself fired with this
so then
fight.
If you do that, have you not vindicated that, well, the way to get out of your contract is punching somebody in the face?
Yeah.
It's all sorts of strange precedents you could set.
This is it, man. But great question. Allowed us to explore some stories that we couldn't necessarily do on the video, so that's great.
There was a podcast kicking around. We did a roundtable yesterday. I think it's on YouTube soon. It's in your audio now. We have a bit of a longer form conversation about some of the backstage dramas lately. Again, without this sort of, you know, naked and ugly speculation. We try and break it all down.
Final question. We'll keep this one brief. Comes from Sean Perry, who asks, good morning, gents. Do you think we'll get the reveal of the White Rabbit being Bray Wyatt at Extreme Rules? Imagine if it's not The Fiend.
I can't. I refuse to acknowledge that.
Imagine if it's the Dyad.
I will not tolerate Joe Gacy as a payoff to the White Rabbit.
Sorry, Joe.
It's not Joe Gacy's fault. I think I've said this, might have been on the news with you on Monday. This is the CM Punk return for The Fiend fans. Like, everything that you have speculated upon is true. Everything you want to get excited about, if I'm talking to you, a Fiend fan or a Bray Wyatt fan or whatever, is happening. This is WWE, I guess, attempting to reframe years of being a troll organisation and doing a little bit of wish fulfilment.
Giving you a Da-Fiend.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be Da-Fiend.
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 Yes.
Just a different guy.
It's a, like, more of a future
Fiend. It's a different energy.
Fiend 2K.
Fiend 2.0. Well, thank you for joining
us. It's Bray. Tune in if
it's
you like Bray Wyatt.
Wyatt.
It's Bray Wyatt.
100%. 100%. Thank you for joining us on today's Wrestling News video. You can follow us at WhatCultureWWE. And of course, you can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Have a Nice Weekend. Hope you do, man. It's a tough world out there.
Enjoy Extreme
hope
Rules.
You're doing well. Enjoy Extreme Rules. Enjoy The Fiend. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.